want to welcome you to Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministries. What do? Well, one of the great things that we do is we teach you what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. And if you follow these principles, there's a great chance that you will eliminate your debt. And wait, there's more. You'll also begin to lead a debt-free life. And wouldn't that be great to lead a debt-free life? Just consider that. You can go out and tell the world, I am debt-free. And yes, it's going to take some work on your part, but it can be done. We have thousands of individuals and couples who will attest to it. Learn more by going to compasscatholic.org. Click on Bible studies, and the first one that will pop up will be Navigating Your Finances God's Way. John and Evelyn Bean will join me today, and they are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries. And today, the topic that we're going to get into a discussion is called Seeking Godly Counsel. In fact, it's one of the topics that we go into great detail during our Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. But Evelyn, before we get into all that, I'd like you to define what it means, seeking godly counsel.
Well, counsel is another word for advice. So if you're seeking godly counsel when making financial decisions, you're asking for advice from people who know and understand God's word to help you make a good financial decision.
I would agree with that. People who, you know, typically when we think about godly counsel, we think about people who have been through the Bible study, completed it, and really had a transformation in their lives. And to be honest with you, the people who we seek godly counsel from are, you know, there's four or five couples that went through the course 20 years ago or 25 years ago that we consider to be really close friends. They're on the same page as we are from a godly financial perspective, and that's who we'll ask.
They're a wise source of advice for us.
Sure.
And the whole idea of seeking godly counsel is based on the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And those gifts are wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, or right judgment, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord.
You know, these gifts are based on Isaiah 11, 1 through 3, which reads, "But a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, a spirit of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and a fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be the fear of the Lord." You know, Evelyn, the Catechism tells us that as the gift of counsel or right judgment grows in us, we can sense the quiet teaching that the Spirit gives us about our moral lives and the training of our consciences. So if we have received the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, we should inherently know that seeking counsel as Christians, especially godly counsel, is the wise thing for us to do.
And there's also a whole bunch of verses in the Bible that talk about seeking counsel and fooling ourselves into doing what we think is right. So the first one is from Proverbs 1:5. "A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel."
A second one would be, "Through presumption comes nothing but strife, but with those who receive counsel is wisdom." That's Proverbs 13:10.
And another one from Proverbs. Proverbs is great for this kind of stuff. Proverbs 19:20. "Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days."
And Proverbs 20:18 says, "Prepare plans by consultation."
And Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory."
And in Proverbs 15:22, it says, "Without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed."
And the last one, Proverbs 24, says, "In abundance of counselors, there is victory." So those are only a few of the scriptures that encourage us to seek counsel. But how often do we actually go out of our way to seek counsel, especially when it comes to financial matters?
Well, Evelyn, I think the answer is for most people is never or probably not often enough. You know, in my experience, one of the most important things you can do to avoid financial problems is to seek counsel.
You know, listening to you go through those verses, how appropriate they are for today, the 21st century. So I'm gonna throw it back on you. Have you ever sought counsel? And if you have, how did you go about doing it?
Yes, we have sought counsel. And in both of the cases that, in the first case anyway, we sought counsel, but we didn't do it the right way. So I think there's a right way and a wrong way to seek counsel.
You mean you sought counsel, but you didn't take their advice, or you went in a different direction?
When I sought counsel, the information I provided and the questions I asked were designed to give me the answer that I wanted to hear.
Okay.
Ooh, that sounds kind of dishonest, yeah. Doesn't it?
When I, back in the mid-80s, when I left the Fortune 500 company and went to start my own business, I talked to my father about what I was going to do. And Evelyn and I talked around what I was going to do. We never talked specifically about it. So I kept hearing, and that's the other thing, you hear what you want to hear, and mm-hmm. you don't hear what you don't want to hear. Mm-hmm. So you have to be careful with that. I heard what I wanted to hear, and I went through with the worst financial mistake that we've ever made in our lives. On a more routine basis, well, not so routine, but if and when we decide we're going to buy a car, we typically seek financial advice. Now, we only do this about once every 10 years, so it's not a biggie. Uh-huh.
But it does slow you down, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does slow you down to make sure that what you're doing makes sense in
right.
today's economy and what, you know, the person who you're seeking counsel from knows about your financial situation and your car situation. I mean, Evelyn's car doesn't get too many miles put on it. She's driving a 2009 Honda Civic right now, and I think it's got at least 45,000 miles on it.
So you're driving it to church on Sundays.
No, Tuesdays and Fridays, actually.
It's a little
store.
Old lady in tennis shoes, you know.
It goes to the grocery store a lot.
So have there been times when you didn't seek counsel? But you should have. You know, it's that hindsight 2020.
Oh, well, part of the story about when John quit his job and sought the counsel he wanted was related to that when we built our dream house. Because if we had been on the same page financially, we would have agreed that it was either time for John to stay in his job or to quit and for us to have a backup plan. But we went ahead and built our dream house, which got us into trouble because we had a dream-sized mortgage and no job coming with money coming in.
Well, and actually the mortgage wasn't that bad because we'd already paid for the lot.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great construction contract so that the price of the house was actually pretty low. But she's right. We built the house, and then 2 weeks later after we'd closed on the mortgage, I quit my job. If we'd sought counsel on that, I know what people would have told us.
Right.
You guys are idiots.
Which is the same thing we would tell somebody seeking that counsel from us today.
Yeah.
Okay, that goes to another question I have. Who do you think we should ask or consider as that person or persons as a counselor? What do they look like?
Well, one of the things is for somebody that has a godly perspective, somebody that either knows the Bible, knows our religion, is wise with the way they're spending and managing their money. Because if you can see that in them, then it's obvious that's the way they're living their lives. So I would definitely look for somebody like that.
Do they have to be an expert, let's say, in cars?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. Do you, John?
No.
Because you're not asking for advice on which car to buy. It's whether I can afford to buy a car.
Yeah. You know, does that make sense mm-hmm. right now okay. with all the circumstances? You know, we all have limited experience and knowledge. We're just looking for the insights. We need to hear the suggestions that others might give us that will aid us in making a proper decision.
You know, the other place to seek counsel from, Steve, is our spouses, definitely if we're married, or our parents. And if you're married, your spouse really should be your number one source of counsel, because you're both going to suffer the consequences of any bad decisions. And it's important for both of you to agree on the course of action. And if you don't agree, then you need to wait and pray and keep talking about it, because nothing's going to ruin your marriage faster than making one-sided financial decisions.
I told you so.
Was that a personal statement, or are you just sharing a statement with me?
I was waiting for that. I told you so. It took 9 minutes and 50 seconds.
But you know, a lot of people have lost a lot of money and subjected themselves and their families to years of heartache and stress by making bad financial decisions. And if it's one-sided, if one of the partners makes the decision, then it's really bad, because it ruins the marriage. And
yes,
we've seen so many couples get divorced because of that.
And, you know, Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of fools is right in their own eyes, but those who listen to advice are the wise." There's one very little common attitude that keeps us from seeking counsel. You know what that's called, Evelyn?
I know. It's called pride, isn't
pride,
it?
Pride.
We're independent.
Ego, you know. Some people think seeking advice is a sign of weakness. We can picture John Wayne saying to us, "Stand up on your own two feet. You don't need anybody to help you make your financial decisions. Get a grip. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps."
You know, but that's contrary to what we see in the Bible.
Totally.
Totally contrary. The Bible encourages us to be interdependent, not independent. And like John said before, you need to be careful how you ask for advice and who you ask for advice. Do you remember that? Maybe you've seen it on some of the reruns on TV, the show Dragnet. One of the detectives said, "Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts." And sometimes, like John was talking about before, our pride gets in the way, and we don't want to tell the person we're talking to all the facts. We just tell them the facts manipulated in a way that we want them to hear so that we get the answer we want.
So how do you convince somebody who is proud that they need to seek counsel? Because something you said, John, I just remember there was a time, long time ago, that I would keep asking until I found somebody who would repeat back to me what I wanted to hear. So I then can go back and say, "I asked, and this is what they told me."
Yeah.
Ignoring
one out of 10, right?
Yeah. Ignoring the nine other people.
Yeah.
Well, we're not here to convince anybody of anything. We're here to present the facts, just the facts, ma'am. But I think once people understand the integration of their faith life and their finances, it's much easier for them to open their hearts and be open to what somebody else has to say.
When seeking counsel, it's all about obtaining the facts. John and Evelyn just talked about a few minutes ago. Great example would be sales people that you deal with. What's their motivation? Most of the time, their motivation is, you're right, the commission check. So when you're seeking counsel, make sure that you're taking that into consideration as you are dealing with someone, negotiating with a salesperson. Are they sharing all the facts? This is Manage Your Money God's Way. Our ministry is Compass Catholic Ministries, where we use biblical principles to help you eliminate your debt, and we can show you how to lead that debt-free life. Just go to compasscatholic.org, click on Bible Studies, and you can take a look at the 9 topics that we discuss in detail over the 9 weeks of Navigating Your Finances God's Way. In fact, today we are talking about seeking godly counsel. That's one of the topics that we spend at least an hour going into great detail and sharing the importance of seeking counsel and using a variety of examples. And an example being, let's say, a car salesperson. If you're buying a car, the salesperson you're dealing with, I would say 99% of the time, they are not going to say, "You shouldn't buy that car now because it doesn't fit your budget." Or they're not going to tell you, "Well, actually, you shouldn't buy this car. You should pay off your other debt first before you buy the car." What they will try to do is convince you that you can afford this car. Just stretch the loan out over 5 or 6 years. So, John, Evelyn, you would say that this individual may not have their interest at heart.
That's true.
So you have to always be careful about the skin in the game of the other person.
Yeah, yeah.
So that leads to a question. We talked about what a godly person looks like. Who do you avoid besides a car salesman who's only in? No. I mean, any kind of salesman. I mean, that's going to stereotype those, but any type of salesman who's only interested because of the commission check that they're going to earn. So who else do you avoid?
Well, if you can't see a halo,
Yeah, that's kind of hard to see. I would think people that aren't living a lifestyle that you admire, you know, just because somebody has a lot of stuff or they have a lot of things in their life or the new car or the big house doesn't mean they're a wise, Catholic, biblical, financial person.
Yeah.
They may just be hiding tons and tons of debt. So people that you admire from a Christian Catholic perspective.
At the same time, if you seek advice, you don't have to seek it from a Christian, godly kind of person if what you're seeking is technical facts. A person can have a wealth of knowledge of technical facts, and so you could go to them and ask questions of a technical nature to help you identify the direction you want to head and stuff like that. But that doesn't mean it's a good financial decision, that you're going to rely on them for financial advice. But getting technical advice is something that they can provide, and you have to accept it as technical advice and then apply that technical advice along with the godly counsel you do receive from people.
But you still have to do your own homework.
You
can't just go into a financial advisor and take him for gospel. What he's telling you is fact. You need to also do your homework.
Yes.
Okay. And with any purchase.
Okay, right.
And, you know, when we talk about financial advisors or any counselor that you would use, we always advise people to interview at least three people.
If you're going for
a long-term relationship with like an attorney or an accountant or a financial advisor,
right.
So that they can gain facts and be comfortable with that person. You know, the other thing that as adults we don't usually think about is seeking advice from our parents. You know, we think that there's a time when we're independent, we're on our own, we're married, we have our own kids, and we really don't need our parents anymore. But our parents, no matter how old we are, always have our own best interests at heart.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, that can apply even if they don't fully understand what it is that you're trying to accomplish, what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a lot of opportunity on that realm with your dad, because early in our marriage, I was getting a new job and basically getting transferred about every 22 months,
mm-hmm.
is what the average was. And so every time we moved, he just thought we got fired again. You know, oh, I got fired. Oh, he got fired again. He got fired again.
Well, he was in the same job for eons, so he just didn't understand. I mean, that's not how his career was.
No, I understand that. Yeah. Exactly. So even though everything that he told us was out of a heart of love,
and we certainly
didn't fully understand the situation.
Right.
So you have to consider that.
Yep. So how do you deal with a couple if they're seeking advice, but maybe what they're looking for, or maybe they're not on the same page, or their definition of a godly person may be a little bit different?
Well, usually if couples come to us for counseling, we encourage them to talk. We give them things to talk about with each other, because if we're counseling them, we won't tell them what to do. We tell them things to think about, things to consider. We look at things that seem out of line if they show us their budget, but we won't make decisions for them.
Right. You know, it's questions like, have you considered? Or what do you think about this? Or, you know,
or how do you guys solve this when this happens? Because it's not our place to tell anybody what to do with their money. We can just provide them with thoughts and facts and figures that we've run into over the years.
Right.
And our experience based on biblical finances.
Yeah, because otherwise, you know, we put ourselves in a position of being, well, you told me so. Well, no, we didn't. We don't want to be in that position, you know, because what's right for us maybe isn't right for somebody else, for another couple. And that's an important consideration when you're advising people.
But we've seen so many marriages ruined by unilateral financial decisions. You know, there was one case we had where a husband made a financial decision with his ex-girlfriend after he was married.
Yeah.
And that was really bad.
Yeah.
We've had several instances where one spouse ran up significant credit card debt and the other spouse didn't know about it.
Like over $100,000 in credit cards.
That was trouble.
So how do you get them on the same page then? In this case here, how did you get them on the same page that they should go talk to someone I don't know if it's a financial individual or maybe just you two were able to steer them in the right direction so they're both on the same page.
Well, the first thing we do is we lock them up in a room with their checkbook.
In the one instance where the wife called me and they had $120,000+ in credit card debt, and she said, my husband doesn't know anything about it. She said, I confessed it to my priest. I said, that's fine, but you know, you have to confess it to your husband. And until you tell your husband, I'm not working with you. And if he doesn't want to work with us, then we're not going to be able to work together, because it has to be a two-party kind of deal. You both have to be all in to make this work, to get rid of this debt. And if that can't happen, then it's not going to happen no matter how much we want it to happen.
So obviously the husband had no interest at all in the family finances. If he never asked, I mean, to rack up $120,000 in debt, doesn't he ever scratch his head going, where did this come from and how did we afford it?
Well, so, you know,
that's a lot of questions just went through my mind.
Yeah.
When you said that, I'm going, how can that happen?
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know, the strange thing is, in several of the instances, and this is one of them, both the husband and the wife were accountants. Only one of them was handling the home finances. And they just didn't talk about things.
Wow.
Accountants know better. But they also think that because they're accountants, they can make it work somehow. They've got accountant magic.
Accountant magic? I never heard of that before.
And so they can make it work. But the reality of it is that it doesn't always work that way.
Well, the reality is if you're spending more than you make, it's always going to bite you at some point in the future.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the situation. The wife had been working full-time, husband was working full-time, and then the wife got ill, and she couldn't work.
Okay.
And in fact, she probably, not only could she not work, she was sick. They ran up a lot of medical bills. That was part of the reason why they had so much debt. But they kept the same standard of living. You know, I've been living at this level. I deserve to live at this level. Evelyn and I did that. You know, that was our mantra. Next month, 2 months from now, three, it's going to turn around. We'll be okay. We can continue to live at this level. But in fact, if you've only got one income now and you're spending a two income level, it's just not going to work.
Right.
And you have to implement your crisis budget. You have to begin spending less than your income.
Okay, so my wife and I have gone out and we sought counsel. Now what happens? How do we make a decision on the right direction?
Pray. Pray, 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 pray.
And be open-minded, right?
And talk to each other a lot.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's all about conversing. We talked earlier about you always seek counsel from your spouse, but if you two don't agree, then you need to keep talking and you need to keep praying and you need to keep seeking counsel from someone else.
When we have a situation where we're trying to make a decision, there's Evelyn's opinion, John's opinion, and a combined opinion. And if the only consensus is the combined opinion, so if we're stuck on John's opinion or Evelyn's opinion, then there is no answer, and you have to wait.
So you let the opportunity pass by.
If it's do it today or forget about it, yeah, it's gone.
Like buying a car. Yeah,
yeah, okay. It's gone.
I think that's a sound piece of advice, actually.
I mean, we've taken as much as 6 months to buy a car because we weren't on the same page, and we couldn't get the right offer that for what we wanted to buy.
And nothing changed in your life.
Nothing changed.
And that's sometimes that I worry when you hear, I'll go back to salesmen, doesn't matter, real estate, car, selling electronics. They put pressure on you to the point where if you don't decide right now, you're going to miss a great opportunity.
Well, we miss it, and we tell them we've got to go pray about it.
I was just going to, you know what? I was just going to say that. Tell that story. When you go to negotiate a car, you do that, don't you?
Yeah, we do.
And that shuts them up.
They have no idea what to say to that one. You've never seen a car salesman back up further than faster than hearing we have to go home and pray about it.
I mean, when first time you told me, I thought, well, geez, that would be awkward for me saying that. But I thought, well, if you want to get out of that room, that's a great thing to...
But it was the truth. I mean, yeah. We were going to go home and pray about it. We just didn't say that to get out of the room. Uh-huh. We just really weren't ready to make a decision, and we needed to pray further about what the right decision was.
Yeah.
You know, so the Christian life, as we talked about before, should not be one of independence, but rather interdependence. And in 1 Corinthians 12 through 26, we're described as a body where in order to function properly, we all need each other.
Yeah, it's one body of many parts. As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons. We were all given to drink of one Spirit. Now the body is not a single part, but many.
So we want to encourage you to take advantage of the body of Christ surrounding you in your parish, in your friends, in your neighborhood, in your community, in your family. If you don't have someone in your life who can give you helpful, godly, financial advice, pray for the Lord to bring that person into your life.
And a good way to find people is by attending the Compass Catholic Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. You will meet three or four other couples, individuals who will be able to be on the same page as you are.
Again, that Bible study is called Navigating Your Finances God's Way, and you can take a closer look at the nine topics discussed over the 9 weeks by going to compasscatholic.org. Click on Bible Studies, and there it is, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Thanks for listening. If you missed any of today's show, or you'd like to share today's show with a friend or family member, go to compasscatholic.org and look for Compass Podcast right there on the homepage. Thanks again for listening. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we are from Compass Catholic Ministries.